Good evening. Again tonight, if we would turn to the Word of God, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 8. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8. And we'll read to verse 12, from verse 8 to verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 11. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. And the Lord will bless the reading of His precious word. Some people sometimes, you know, some passages of scriptures they don't like, and they, because they don't want to obey them, so they just put them aside, discredit them, and don't use them. But all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this passage of scripture, as much as the other passages of scriptures, are very important and good to look at and get the teaching from it. It's a wonderful passage of scriptures. And I know, like, because of the head covering, which is not very popular in certain circles, they just overlook this passage. But when you think about it, like, the roles given by God are important. And it wasn't just random that God created man and the woman the way He did. He did it with a purpose, and there's teaching to be found in what He did. When he created the man and then took the woman out of the man, there was great teaching in that. And the roles given by God for each are very important. And God uses them and teaches us things. There's one thing, we don't always understand the whole scope. Sometimes, you know, it takes time to understand the whole scope of what God is doing in the doctrines of the Bible. But that's why we need to be obedient to what He says. We need to follow His instructions and to keep them as very important without being distracted by the things around us. And really what has been distracting this teaching is just what's going on around. And people just don't appreciate this because a lot of people have dropped it and people follow in the way. But really, they are depriving themselves of great teaching from the Word of God. You know, some people are shading scriptures just so that they don't have to obey them, but it's important. So really here, like when we see men and women in the in God's creation, they have respective and distinctive roles which are representative. So here we would look tonight as the woman in her role as a representative. Mr. Gunn, I believe it was, one time as he was speaking, there was some priest, and one of them came up to the front and asked him, he said, "If God is our father, then who is our mother? And if you don't answer that question, I won't listen to you." And he very quickly, he's quick to quote a verse. And the verse was Galatians 4:26, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." And he said, "You sit down until I'm done." So he was quick to have an answer for that, because we know what this man had in mind. If God is our father, then who is our mother? And he says, it's the Jerusalem, which is above. That's the new Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, as Paul writes to the Galatians, concerning the law and grace, concerning the Jerusalem that now is and the one that is to come. And there's great teaching in that too also. So when we look at the different roles that God has given in scriptures to men and woman, and I hope tonight I'm not going to be too confusing. I hope you're not going to leave this place and wonder what I was trying to bring about, so I'll try to be easily, you know, to make it easy to understand, but yeah, I think you can see that in scriptures. That's what I found in scriptures, that what I want to talk about is a principle that is in scriptures and can be verified throughout scriptures. So here we see in scriptures that men represent the energy of faith to have the blessing of God. And the woman represents the stability of the relationship, or the vehicle to which God can restore by grace what man has lost. So here the man represents the energy of faith to keep the blessing that is from God. And the woman represents the stability in the relationship, and also the vehicle which God uses to restore that which man has lost. And as we go along in this study, we will hope to be able to convey that to you and show that from scriptures to you. In a sense, when we look at Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth, we see all the males die in that story. Elimelech and his two sons die, but we are left with widows. They don't die. And really, when you see these men die, then the hope vanishes with them. But then the widows, Naomi and Ruth, will be the vehicle through which God will restore that which was lost in the man. And they live on to bring and to show that we can lose fellowship with God, but we can't lose our relationship with God once we are saved. And we'll see that as we go along. But even in the book of Genesis, when sin came into the world, this was a failure on man's part. Man was responsible in that. The Bible says that it was man that brought sin into the world, even though the woman was first deceived, but the man was the one responsible to bring sin into the world. For one, by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. But when this happened, when sin came in, God in his judgment because of sin said in Genesis 3 and 19, he said to the man, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." So here the energy of faith we see in the man. In the sweat of thy face, man had to work in the energy of faith to bring the blessing. But to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." So here it was in bringing children that the woman was going to be, that's what God was saying to her, so in conceiving children. And we'll look at that. So when we look at the blessing from God was handed down from the Father to the Son. And that's what we see in scriptures. Abraham received the blessing, and he handed it down to his son Isaac. And then Isaac would hand it down to Jacob. And then Jacob to Joseph, as we see in Psalm 78, we see that Joseph, for the time, was the firstborn, was the one receiving the blessing from the Father, being able to transmit it down the line. But eventually, it was Judah. Judah wasn't ready at the time. We see that he was a Jacob, as he blesses his son, says that Judah was a lion in the whelp. He was not yet ready. He was the lion, but he wasn't yet ready to receive the blessing, and it went to Joseph and his sons. But eventually Ephraim was replaced by Judah, and the Lord Jesus Christ came through Judah. So that's the way the blessing was handed down from the Father to the Son. Normally would be the flow. But when the flow is broken, when the flow is interrupted, then how is it going to go? How is God going to be able to restore it again? See, if it is lost in the generation, how is it going to be brought back? And that's where we see that the woman becomes the vehicle for the grace of God to be restored. And we'll, as I say that, you may be wondering what I'm talking about, and I hope you'll be able to see that when I'm done. When we see Adam lost the blessing, and because of his disobedience. But how is God now going to be able to restore that blessing? Well, it's going to be by grace, unmerited favor, and it's going to have to come through the woman. Let's turn for a moment to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. So as we see ourselves, you know, we like coming from Adam, the blessings should have been coming to us through Adam. But because Adam lost the blessing because of sin, it can't come to us through Adam. So, but we will receive the blessing, but not through Adam. And here it says, speaking in this passage about the law, verse 2. For the woman, let's read verse 1 too. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And this passage here is speaking about us in Adam. You know, because of our relationship to Adam, in Adam we had lost the blessing. There was no way God could save us in Adam, because Adam had lost the blessing, having brought sin into the world. So now he's talking about the woman, and we are represented in this woman. We were linked to Adam. But now it says that if the man dies, if the husband dies, then she is free to be married to another man. And I believe this passage is really talking about us. As we were in Adam, we could not be saved in Adam. But we had to die to what we were in Adam, and so that we were free to be married to another man. And that other man was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those of us who are saved, we are no more in Adam. That relationship has been severed, and now we are into a new relationship to Christ. And in Christ, the blessing flows, because Christ has not lost the blessing. And now we know that we have the blessing from God handed down to us by grace, and the woman has become the vehicle for that grace, because it was the woman that brought Christ into the world. It was the woman at the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was not from Adam, so that we could now be married to him and the blessing would flow. This is what it said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And the Lord said, and as he spoke to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So here is the hope of the gospel, isn't it? It wasn't in what God said to the man. It was in what God said to the serpent about the woman. So in Adam, everything was lost. And God, by grace now, was able to use the woman to bring in another man, the seed of the woman, not the seed of man, which is usually the case. We always talk about the seed of the man. But now, because of the seed of the woman, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God was able, through that vehicle for his grace, the woman, he was able to bring in another man, which was not in the curse because of sin. And he was able to restore that to us, that grace. You know, that's why when we see that a woman, when she gets married, she takes her husband's name. She comes out of her family lineage
And she comes into the man's lineage. And then in her children has a seed. And God uses that to bring the grace back, or to restore the blessing through the woman. There's one thing that the woman does not receive the blessing from her fathers, because when she breaks up from her family to be united to her husband, she comes into her husband's family. And what's in the husband's family becomes hers. Whatever the son inherits becomes the inheritance of the woman. And in the big picture, we see that in Christ, don't we? Being the bride of Christ, all the blessings of God in Christ becomes ours. The woman becomes fully heir with the man in the inheritance coming down from the Father. So that's the way we come in into Christ, into God's blessing, which we had lost in Adam. So we are restored to that blessing in Christ. But she receives it not in her fathers, the woman, but she receives it in her seed. And we'll see that. Let's turn for a moment to Psalm 45. I want to go to some scriptures with you tonight to show that this is the principle that applies to all the Word of God, and we will not look at everything, but there is, in those things, we see that principle being applied different places in the Word of God. So Psalm 45, which is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, here we see in verse 16, it talks about the bride there, and it says, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And verse 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. So instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. So here for the woman, it becomes like it's not the name of her father anymore, our fathers, but it's in her children, which have the name of her husband. And that's where the blessing will be. She comes into a new relationship. And where the flow had been broken, now she can come in. She is free to be married to another one when the husband dies, who has the blessing. And then it becomes her blessing. But look, it says, therefore shall I will make thy name to be remembered. But the name of the woman is not lost. And we see that in the Lord's genealogy. There is a name of four women there. And that's very important, isn't it? Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba all came in at a time when the flow of the blessing was almost interrupted. And the Lord used a woman to restore it, to bring back the blessing, because there was a blessing that was coming down the line. And at that stage, the blessing was in danger, and the Lord used a woman to restore it. These women who had at heart to see that flow of blessing going on. But in fact, really, she has to leave her father to receive the blessing. She has to break away from that relationship and come into a new relationship to receive that blessing. Look at verse 10 in Psalm 45. It says, hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. We see that in Rebekah, don't we? She was asked to come into that relationship to Isaac. And she said yes to it. But in saying yes to it, she had to leave her father's house, and which was not connected with the blessing that was coming down through Abraham. And she said yes, that she would leave her father's house. And she would go to be united, to be linked to that man, Isaac, who was the man with the blessing. And then her sons would have the blessing. She was coming into that relationship of blessing. So she comes into that. Ruth and Naomi, when we look back to the book of Ruth, you know, the blessing was in Elimelech, but Elimelech left the place of blessing. He left the house of bread, and he went to a country that had no blessing from God. And there he died. So that now the blessing, the flow of the blessing was interrupted. And but the widows were able to come back to the land, and through another man, Boaz, the blessing was restored to them, and Ruth, who was really a stranger, was able to conceive a son who was Obed, who would become the grandfather of David. So we see the principle again in this situation. God was able to use the woman, bringing them back to that place of blessing, which now had lost the blessing in their relationship to Elimelech, but God restored it because Elimelech and his sons had died. Ruth was free to be married to Boaz. She wouldn't have been able to do that if she had still been married to Elimelech's son. But being a widow now, she was free to be married to Boaz, who was the kinsman redeemer, who was the one who was able to transmit the blessing from God. God used the woman to restore to Elimelech. And which name do we remember? It's the name Ruth. It becomes very prevalent in this story, doesn't it? Even the book bears the name of Ruth. God used Ruth in her God-given role. And that's why we're talking about roles here. And God, the woman, does not have to come out of her role, God-given role. When the blessing, the flow of blessing has been interrupted, God will use the woman, not usurping over man, but keeping her place as God has given her. God will use the woman to bring that blessing back, the vehicle for the grace of God to be able to be restored. God will use the woman. Even when we think, you know, when at the beginning when Adam sinned and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden and the blessing was no longer theirs, there was a curse on the earth and there was a curse on them, Adam believed and he called Eve the mother of all living because he knew that she would be the one whom God would use to restore the blessing, the living. She was the mother of all the living. And she brought forth a son, Cain, and then she brought forth a son, Abel. And God, through Abel, was going to be able to restore. But then Cain killed Abel. And then again, the interruption of the flow from God, of the grace of God. But then she was able to bring another son, Seth. And we see how God uses the woman in that sense to bring about again another son whom God would be able to use to bring the blessing, to restore the blessing. There's something we see in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 8 to 12. You know, one thing, one observation we have is the first man was without a man, came without a man and a woman. God made Adam of the dust of the earth. So there was no man or woman involved. The first man came from God, without a man or a woman. The first woman, Eve, came out of a man without a woman. So she was taken out of man without a woman. But Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 12, or let's read verse 10. For this cause had the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Even though man first came without a woman, and the first woman came out of man, after that, there's no man without a woman. And it says, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. After that, every man and woman came from a man and a woman together. So really, like, we can't boast, like, man also came from a woman after that. But now there's another man who came from a woman without a man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the first man came not from a man and a woman, and the first woman came from a man without a woman, and then after that, all men and women after that came from man and a woman. But the last man, another man, came here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came out of a woman without a man. And that's how God uses a woman here to restore that which man had lost. I hope I didn't lose you so far. It's a lot of trying to put your mind around that, but I hope I'm not losing you. So we see that. So when man fails in the energy of faith, then God uses the woman to restore that which the man has lost. And that's a biblical principle. But the woman cannot usurp the role that God has given her. That's very important. God wants the woman to remain in her God-given role. And that's why this teaching is important. You know, like, this is about the head covering and the silence in the meeting. And man is the one who has the authority, or the God-given authority in the meeting. And the woman, God will use her without her usurping the role that God has given her. And she doesn't take over man's role. She keeps her role, but God uses her to restore that. We'll look at more situations as we go along. This principle makes one verse easier to understand. If we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, there's a verse there that was, I with this principle in mind, this verse becomes easier to understand. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 to 15. It's a difficult verse, but with this in mind, let's think of it as the role of the woman in bringing, God using the woman as the vehicle of grace to restore the blessing in her seed. And look at verse 12. It says here, and it's the context too, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve." So here the order of creation, God brings it back. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." So here it says that she will be saved in childbearing. God using her in her role in bringing another man, when man has failed, using the woman to restore the blessing in another man that comes from the woman. We have here the Lord Jesus Christ in that. So I don't know if it makes that verse a little bit easier to understand for you. It's not, as some people had said in the past, that the more children a woman would have, the better chances she had to go to heaven. But God would use the woman in bringing in another son to restore the blessing when man in the energy of faith has failed and the interruption comes in the flow of blessing. So God would be able to use the woman to restore that again. Okay, so I hope I was able to make you understand that this principle that I've seen in the Word of God, but we'll show you some illustration of that. So here we have, in the instance of Elimelech loses the inheritance by the lack of energy of faith. He should have remained in the place of blessing. There was a famine in the land, in the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah, but he thinks that he can get a better blessing in the land of Moab. Well, there was no blessing there. And he goes there for a little while, but ends up dwelling there for long enough that he himself died, and then his sons died. Both of his sons died. So now here we have interruption. He cannot hand down the blessing through his sons, because his sons died before they had any children. But God brings the widows, and we see that they were still alive, that none of them died, because they represent the relationship, while the man represents the fellowship. Fellowship can be lost. The relationship can never be lost. So the woman here come back free to be married to another man now that can restore the blessing to the seed. And this man is Boaz, and it is restored in him. And then we remember Ruth in this, the name of Ruth. There's another story we have in the Word of God. It's Eli, the priest. And, you know, we see that over and over again. The problem, and in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, really the problem is with the sons. Like the fathers are doing all right, but then the sons break down the pattern. And they lose the blessing. And Eli, when we see that, Eli loses the glory of God in Israel. Ichabod, you know. Because his sons were sons of Belial. These sons were not able to carry on the blessing in the energy of faith. Because they were getting away from God and not able to carry on the blessing, we see that they were sons of Belial, and the story ends up with Ichabod. The glory is banished from Israel. That's a sad story, isn't it? But before that happens, there's a woman, and who sees that coming? Well, Eli thought she was a daughter of Belial because he thought she was drunk when she was in the temple, and she was praying, and her lips were moving, but there was no words coming out. He thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk. She could see what he couldn't see because he was getting blind, spiritually blind also. He didn't see that the glory would be banished from Israel in a short time because his sons were sons of Belial. And she saw that there was a need. What was the need? She didn't say to Eli, we're sorry, but you're not doing your job. I'm going to take over. She didn't take over. She stayed in her role as a woman. She kept her role, but she prayed to God that God would give her a child, a male child, that would be able, when the glory would be banished from Israel, would be able to bring it back. And God is using Anne here, a woman, in her God-given role, bringing in a son who would be able to restore the glory back to Israel. And Samuel was that son, wasn't he? So the woman didn't usurp authority. She remained in her God-given role. But in childbearing, in bringing in a son by God, would bring back the glory to Israel. And that's the way God used, wasn't it? To bring the glory back to Israel, using the woman. Who's the name we remember in this story? Anne. We read of her husband, but really the name that is prevalent in the story is Anne. She is praying for God to give her a male child. She keeps her role. She does what God wants her to do, but she wants to be used as the vehicle of grace. God is able to restore through her, giving her a child, a male child, who will be able, when the glory is banished from Israel, who will be able to restore it again to Israel. So we see that principle again in that story. Well, in the bigger picture, we see, you know, like the Lord Jesus Christ is the son of David, isn't he? And this was important because he would sit on the throne of David and restore to Israel again when it would be lost. Because David, we see that David, after Jeconiah or Jehoiakim, there was no more sons of David that sat on the throne. And why was that? Because of failure of man. Because of the failure of man, it said in Jeremiah 22 and verse 30, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, A man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. That's Coniah or Jehoiakim. So here, because of his sin, because of his lack of energy of faith to preserve the blessing, he loses it. And God brings a curse on the lineage. That's the lineage of David. That's very important because God has made promise to the sons of David. One son of David would sit upon the throne and restore to Israel what God had promised to Israel. But now we see here an interruption in the flow because of the lack of energy of faith. Coniah or Jehoiakim, he receives a curse from God because of his sins. So how is God now going to be able to fulfill his promises? Because what he promised, he will do. And now we have a problem. There's interruption. How is God going to be able now to fulfill his promise made to Israel? Well, it will be through the virgin birth, isn't it? Because there was no other way that God could restore but by bringing a man in the lineage of David that would not come from Coniah or Jehoiakim. So here, like all this principle, really all the other ones were in types, but this one is the true picture. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a woman that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into this world in her God-given role. In childbearing, she brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the son of David. We see when we read the genealogy through of Matthew and Luke, we see that he was a son of David through Joseph by adoption, but not really of the seed of Coniah or Jehoiakim, but through his mother Mary, goes back to David through Nathan. And that he is fit to be the king of Israel. But he escapes the curse put on Coniah. So he was brought through a woman, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she is the vehicle of grace. And in our salvation, that's the way it's been. As we've read in Romans 7, in Adam, the flow, the interruption had come. And there's no hope in Adam because we are from Adam. But now, since there is another man, the last Adam, the one that came from a woman, who escaped the curse that came upon Adam because of sin, now you and I can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we had to die to what we were in Adam. And that's why we were baptized, as Romans 6 says, we were baptized into the death of Christ. We died with him, and then we rose again with him, and now we are in newness of life. No longer linked to Adam, but linked to this new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are in the blessing of God. God brought salvation to us through the woman, using the woman as the vehicle of grace. The name of Mary is remembered, while some people have made more of it than what really she is. Like, she's not to be prayed to, or she's not the co-mediator or the co-redemptor, as some people would say, but she was the vehicle of God's grace. God used that woman to bring into the world his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ has become to us the Savior. But God used the woman to bring him into this world. So we see the important role. There's a lot of people that say that the Bible is against women. The Bible is not against women. The Bible gives a high role to the woman as it does to the man. And sometimes we think because the man has the role of authority in the church, he has a greater role. But it's not so. The woman, in her God-given role of submission and silence, with the sign of it on her head, God has given the woman a great role in his economy, the things that he has done. And the reason why things were done the way it was done, that man was created and then the woman was taken out of the man, it wasn't just random. There was a design in it. It was God's design. So we need to be careful when we look at scriptures, and we cannot just discard a passage because we don't understand it sometimes or we don't want to obey it. I remember a man one time, he was showing me in his Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, that big X on it. Because in a sarcastic way, one time he told the pastor of the church where he was going, he said, well, if this is not for us today, why is it in the Bible? So if it's not for us today, we might as well scratch it out. And he put a big X on it because he believed that it was there for us. But he just wanted to make a point. This is a teaching from God, the God-given role. Today people are saying, well, you know, we can do whatever we want because this is not important. It is important. It's in God's word. It's God's instructions for us on how we should function. And to keep that is to honor God. And it's to bring the teaching of God's word, of the God-given role of man, respective role for man and the woman. The woman is the vehicle which God uses to restore when the flow has been interrupted by grace. And it's all of God. It's a wonderful role given to the woman. And we need to appreciate it. And we too, men, have to appreciate it, don't we? Because if it wasn't for the woman, we wouldn't have the Savior that we have. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for what the teaching we find in thy word. Father, we pray that we might be able to understand it and to cherish it and to keep it very carefully as we are going along in the history of this world until Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes again to take us to be with Himself. Father, we thank Thee again. And we thank Thee for always finding a way to restore that which we have lost. And we thank Thee in the name of Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.